So tonight we are talking about something called an offense. Now, an offense is something that just really irks us, okay? That really just makes us so mad. So I thought, that's bright, Jackie boy. Ouch. That's really bright. So I thought tonight, what better way than to start the night by sharing with you a list of things that just offend me, okay? A list of things that really just get under my skin. And the very first thing is when my sweet, sweet husband makes pizza rolls, okay? That's not what offends me, all right? What offends me is when he says, babe, do you want any pizza rolls? And to which I reply, no, thank you. I don't want any pizza rolls. And then he comes and sits down next to me with a plate of pizza rolls for just himself. Why didn't he make me any pizza rolls? I know I said I didn't want any pizza rolls, but I want pizza rolls. I'm a girl. We're confusing. It offends me. Okay. The second thing is when, oh, this one just gets under my skin, is when my dog has a choice to throw up on the carpet or the tile. What do you think he picks? The carpet every time. Why? It's so stupid. Okay. It offends me. All right. Number three, I'm offended that when I talk to other people and they say, no, I don't have any tummy issues, but I have so many tummy issues. So many, enough for all of you in this room. Doesn't matter, okay? Number four, I'm offended when I'm crying in a public place. Don't laugh at that, all right? And somebody comes up to me and says, oh, are you okay? That's so embarrassing. Okay, no, that's so rude. Leave me alone. Let me cry in public, okay? Number six, all right? Ugh, this one. I am so offended when somebody says, let me show you something really funny, and then I see it, and I don't think it's funny. And I'm like, do you not know me? Do you not get me at all? We have been friends for years. Offensive. Number seven. This one is what truly, truly gets under my skin. This one, oh, okay. I'm offended when I ask all of the rest of the staff, rest of the youth staff, do you guys want to go get a treat? And they say, no, but you can go get a treat. I don't want a treat by myself. I want all of us to go get a treat. If I want a treat, you want a treat. We all have to go get a treat together. Then I feel insecure. Why am I the only one that's having a treat? Am I eating my feelings? I don't know. Like I said, it's a very small list of things that I find offensive, okay? Now, these things may seem silly, and these things might not seem like that big of a deal, but the truth is these little irritations and these little annoyances can add up into something bigger. They can, if we sit on them long enough, and if we really stir in them long enough, I could find a reason to truly be offended by my husband. Even though I told him, no, I don't want any pizza rolls, but if I really sat in that for a minute, I could just start stewing on it and say, well, how come he didn't think that I would want any? I know he asked me, but still, he's my husband. He should know me. And now I'm mad at him. And now I'm offended by him. And so the smallest of little things can turn into something so big, and they can become an offense. Now, offenses in our lives are unavoidable, meaning they are going to happen whether we want them to or not. Jesus even tells his disciples this in Luke 17. It says, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. Meaning, it is impossible that they're not going to come. Right? Offenses will happen in your life. There will be people who hurt you. There will be times that you are so angry, that you are so hurt, an offense has started. Now, the Greek word for offend in that Bible verse is scandalon, kind of a weird word, but that is a trap or a snare, any impediment placed in the way of causing one to stumble or fall. In the New Testament of the Bible, this word offense is described as a trap used by the enemy to make you stuck, to make you stuck, to make you upset, to make you bitter, to make you resentful. And now, since, here's the deal. Since the enemy uses fences to trap us, I thought what better way to show you how bad a trap hurts, how painful a trap could be, than inviting our dearest, newest hire, Jenny, to come on out here. Now, hey, Jenny. Hi. So, we're going to use mouse traps. Okay? If you can't see, I might have had an entire table put of mouse traps on here. And I kind of just want to show you the visual of how bad it hurts to be stuck in a trap of an offense. Of how bad, get Jennifer. I'll call your husband. He's here. Jennifer, he's a cop. I'll get you arrested, okay? Now here's the deal. Offenses hurt us. The enemy literally uses them as a trap to get you stuck, to get you hurt. So Jenny, why don't you just show us what an offense does to us? With your hand. Why not just take it for a spin? Yeah. No, you have to. We pay you. You just do it. Ew! Wait. But Jenny, that's only like a little bit of pain. Maybe you should do your other hand too. Oh, that one got me a little sweaty. Is that okay? Does that hurt? Oh, it hurts so bad. Maybe KT can help you, okay? And sorry, just, oh, don't cry. Okay, all right, see ya. Bye. Now offenses hurt us. Okay, they trap you, they get you stuck, they hurt. Okay, now poor little sweet Jenny didn't figure out how to just shake it off. But lucky for you, we will learn how we can escape the trap of offense. Now, like I said earlier, it is impossible to not be offended. You will be offended from the smallest of things, and you will be offended from the biggest of things, like a friend stabbing you in the back, like somebody you love who is close to you, that turns their back on you, that hurts you. And now, all of a sudden, there's an offense built. It started as a hurt, but we had time to sit on it, and we've had time to think about it. And now it has become an offense. But you get to choose what you do with an offense. You get to choose if you want to sit in that anger, if you want to sit in the trap, if you want to sit in the hurt, or you can choose to let it go. Since you already know offenses are going to come, then you have to know, where are they coming from? It might feel like they're coming from your best friend who hurt you. It might feel like they're coming from a parent who lost their trust in you, or you lost your trust in them. It might feel like a coach who singled you out, who's benched you for the rest of the year for something you don't agree with. An offense might have even felt like it's come from one of us pastors on staff. But you have to have a clear understanding that offenses come from the enemy. I know that it feels like what that person did to you is not okay. I know that it feels like what they said to you is not okay, of how they hurt you is not okay, but that person is not the person who hurt you. What they did to you is not okay, and I don't want to discredit that, and I don't want to take that away, but you have to understand that the offense is coming from the enemy. You have to have eyes to be able to step back and see, I know that it felt like my friend hurt me, but I have to see what's happening behind the scenes. I have to be able to see that that was the enemy that caused that. It says in John 10:10, the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But my purpose, which is Jesus, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now, maybe you felt like you've heard this verse 10,000 times if you've ever grown up in church, but that's because this verse is truth. You have to keep in your mind, you have to understand, where are bad things coming from? They are coming from the enemy. And if you are a follower of Jesus, then he is out to destroy your life. See, the enemy comes to bring division while Jesus comes to bring unity. And what better way to cause division than to become offended. And when we become offended, we no longer want what's best for that person. We no longer want to be around that person. We no longer want to look at them. We no longer want to even hear from them. And maybe if you've been offended by one of us pastors, then the minute we take this pulpit, you don't want to hear anything that comes out of our mouth. You're instantly mad, you're instantly upset, and you just want to leave. And this is how the enemy operates in your life. I recently had a student within the last year who came in. I love this student so much. She's in high school, so you don't have to try to figure out who it is in this room, okay? She's in high school, and she's grown up in our ministry. I was actually one of her kids' pastors. So when she was in elementary school, I had her. She's now in high school, and she has been around a long time, a long time. I've known her. I've seen her grow up. She knows how the enemy operates. She knows how he traps you. She knows because she's seen it. But she texted me one day asking, can I come in and just meet with you? And I said, of course. So she came in and already she looked a little bit nervous. And so we just started talking. We just started having, you know, that small talk about the weather, about who's the funniest on staff. All right. The results were inconclusive. It was me. But I could tell that something was bothering her. I could tell that something was bugging her, that something just wasn't right. So I asked her, I said, are you okay? And she said, I don't feel like you guys at 4640 like me very much. I don't feel like you pastors even see me. I don't feel like I'm loved here. I don't feel seen here. I don't feel heard here. I don't feel like I have a place here. And she just kept going on and she said, maybe I should just find a new church. Maybe I should just leave 4640. Maybe I should just go try out a different youth group. And my heart was broken to hear this. And so I instantly tried telling her, no, we love you. I care about you. I'm so glad you're here. You have a place here. And she just said, yeah, okay, but I don't. I don't feel seen. You guys don't like me. And while we were talking, I was just asking her, where is this coming from? And she said, I don't know. I just don't want to be at 46 anymore. And I felt like in that moment, the Lord spoke to me. Somewhere along the way, one of us hurt her. Without realizing it, one of us did something to now damage our relationship with her. So I asked her, I said, did one of us pastors hurt you? And it's okay, you can be honest. We can take it, we can handle it. And I want you to be honest with me. And she said, no, it's not that. I just don't want to be here. So I asked her again, I said, did one of us hurt you? She said, yeah, one of you did. And it happened while it was in passing. While we were walking past each other, this pastor did something, and it was enough that it hurt this person so deeply. Enough that she could no longer hear any truth. That all she could hear was lies. And just like that, she was trapped in an offense. The only thing she could hear is nobody wants me here, you guys don't like me, and I should leave. That's the only thing she could hear. What started out as something small, without us even realizing what really happened, what started out as something so small, she now had time to sit on it. She now had time to kind of stir in it. She now had time for it to take root, for the offense to be built. See, when the enemy traps us in offense, it changes the way we think. Often what we think happened isn't actually what happened at all. It changes the reality around us. Her new reality became, I'm not wanted here. Well, that wasn't even true. Offenses cause us to change the truth of what really happened so that it fits what we think happened. We can only see how we were hurt from the situation, from the person we loved. We were able then to have a conversation. We are able to kind of point out, okay, well, is it this that happened? Okay, it was that that happened. Okay, great. Let's figure out what went wrong. And we are able to sit there and pray and say, God, could you help us? Could you show us where the offense happened? Could you show us where she was hurt? Could you show us? And God began to show us. He pointed out the exact moment she got hurt, the exact moment that the offense started. And we were able then to say, God, I'm sorry. She was able to admit, okay, wait, what I thought happened wasn't actually the truth of what happened. She was able to sit down. We were able to have a real conversation where then she could walk through forgiveness. Forgiveness of carrying an offense. Forgiveness for that other person. She chose to drop the offense. And she said, I choose to forgive that pastor, even if they didn't even know that they hurt me. She was freed from the trap of an offense. Unlike our sweet Jenny, who couldn't get that little mouse trap off of her hand, right? She was stuck in that. She couldn't escape that. But lucky for us, there is an escape plan. There is a way to get out of the offense that is making us angry, that is making us bitter. And the first thing we have to do is get rid of our pride. Now, pride stops us from acknowledging the truth of what happened. See, pride makes us believe that what happened in the way that we see it, then we are justified. Okay, pride makes us believe that it's okay to carry a grudge against that person, that your feelings are justified. But just because you were mistreated, that does not give you permission to hold an offense. Just because you were hurt, just because the person you love turned their back on you, doesn't give you the right to keep a hold of the offense. The student I talked about earlier was only able to get freedom when she was finally able to admit what had happened, why she was hurt, what happened, how did we hurt her. She let pride go to the wayside when she said, this is the situation, I'm not okay. That student went from being a victim, thinking, oh, poor me, this happened to me, to now being a victor, okay? Being freed from the trap of offense. The next thing we have to do is surrender it to Jesus. Now, I know this sounds so cliche, and I don't care, all right? I know it sounds so Jesus-y, and it should, because the only person who is able to heal you from offense, the only person who is able to take that offense away from you is Jesus. The only person who can get you out of the trap is Jesus. It says in Psalm 55:22, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you, right? Give your burdens, give the things that are hurting you, give your offenses to the Lord and he's gonna take care of you. He's gonna take care of the situation. Now, I really, really, really want you to understand this part, okay? This part is important, it's crucial. When you are offended, the last person you should go to is your friend. Because what happens is our friends tend to add fuel to the fire. Our friends help us justify why we are so upset. Our friends can help us say, yeah, what they did to you was terrible. You should get revenge. You should be mad at them. You should treat them poorly. But that's not true. If that friend loves you, and if that friend truly cares about you, they will say, I am so sorry what happened to you. Take that to the Lord. I'm still here for you. I still love you. I support you through everything. But you've got to deal with that between you and between the Lord. Because our friends will justify our behavior, even if they don't mean to, because they love us, because they don't want to see you hurt. But that verse says, give your burdens to the Lord. Not give your burdens to your bestie. So how do you surrender it to the Lord? It simply looks like maybe you need to be alone in your room saying, God, this is who hurt me. God, this is the pain I feel. God, this is the situation. God, I need help. And I just lay it down at your feet. And I say, this is all of my baggage. These are all of the things. These are all of the ways they hurt me. And I just lay it down at your feet. And when we're able to do that, then we're finally able to do the very last thing, which is to forgive the person who hurt you. When we choose to forgive somebody, then we are saying, God, they are yours to deal with. But when we choose unforgiveness, it has now become a sin. Unforgiveness is a sin. Refusing not to forgive that person for what they've done to you is wrong. It says in Matthew 6:15, but if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So if we hold on to unforgiveness, if we hold on to the ways that they hurt us and we say, you don't know what they did to me though. You don't know how they hurt me. You don't know the things that they have done. You don't understand it. And I don't. And I'm right there with you with sometimes it feels like they don't deserve to be forgiven. But we cannot get caught and trapped in a sin of unforgiveness because we are hurt, because we're mad. Forgiveness doesn't mean they have to be your bestie again. Forgiveness doesn't mean that they have to be in your close circle again. Forgiveness doesn't even mean that you have to talk to them again. You can have your boundaries, you can have your space. But forgiveness is not just a recommendation, but it is a command. And you know that you've been able to forgive somebody when you can say, I wish them well, and I can pray for them. I wish them well. I know what they did to me was wrong. I choose to forgive them. But man, I hope they have a good life. I hope that God blesses them and you can pray for them. God, man, bless them. Give them good friends. Give them what they need. That is when we know we have truly forgiven the person. And forgiveness might take months. It might take years. If I'm going to be real honest with you, there was a family member, my father, who we had it pretty rough for a couple years. And it took me 2 years to forgive him. 2 years of constantly saying, God, I choose to forgive him. God, I choose to forgive him. Waking up and choosing that daily, God, I choose to forgive him. What he did, it wasn't okay. It doesn't excuse it, but we are choosing to say, I forgive that person. And now I'm in a confident place where I can say to you, I wish him well. I wish him and his family well. I pray for them daily because I finally worked through forgiveness. And I know that what those person have done to you is not okay. But you can't get trapped in an offense any longer. It makes us angry. It makes us bitter. It makes us resent that person. And it traps us in unforgiveness. So how do we officially let go of offense? Because it's one thing that I can be down here saying, yeah, drop your pride. Yeah, surrender to Jesus. Yeah, choose to forgive him. But if we don't have a chance to do that tonight, then some of us, I don't know if we will. We might leave these doors and never think about what I said again. And so what I want to invite you to do is I want to invite you to be a little bit mature in this moment. If you can't handle it, just close your eyes. Okay, so I want to invite every single person to bow your heads and I want you to close your eyes. So how we get rid of the trap of offense is we have to check our pride. We got to get rid of it. How you get rid of your pride is you're able to admit what happened. You're able to say what happened. You don't have to shove it down any longer. You don't have to conceal it. You just have to say what happened. You don't even have to say it out loud. So I just want you to think now of the person who offended you. Maybe it's multiple people. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a coach. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was me. Maybe it was one of us on staff. And I just want you to think about that person. And I just want you to tell God in the quiet of your heart, what happened? It doesn't have to be long. It can just be, God, they stabbed me in the back. I thought they were my best friend, but I guess not. You just admit it. So after you're able to admit it, now you're gonna surrender it. What does that look like? That just looks like, God, this is every single thing that they have done to me. This is how they hurt me. This is what they did. This is the pain they caused me. It's just a conversation between you and God. And just tell him about it. And
once you tell them about it, you say, okay, now they're yours to deal with. Okay, now I surrender it at your feet. And when we surrender it, it means we don't pick it back up. We don't try to grab back onto what they did. We just say, I surrender it. And if you're not ready to do that yet, that's okay. You can do it at home when you are ready. But after we surrender it, now you have to forgive them. And this feels like the hardest part, because forgiveness feels like we're justifying that what they did was okay, but we're not. We're not justifying their behavior. We're simply not going to be stuck in sin any longer. Remember, by forgiving them doesn't mean we excuse the behavior. It doesn't mean that it was okay. It doesn't mean we have to be best friends again. It doesn't mean that we have to trust them again. It just means we forgive them and we let God deal with it. So when you're ready to do that, all you say is, God, I choose to forgive blank for blank. And maybe you're not ready to do it on your own. Maybe you're like, I need a little push. I need a little help. So what I want all of us to do is I just want you all to repeat after me. Just say, Dear Jesus, I choose to forgive the person or persons who hurt me. And I choose to surrender it at your feet. And I believe that you will deal with them and they are not my problem. So I forgive them. And in Jesus' name, amen. Easy as that. So it might have to be, don't leave yet. It might have to be a daily thing that you have to choose to forgive them. It might have to be every hour you have to forgive them. But you have to forgive that person. All right, let me pray over you guys. Bow your heads, close your eyes one more time. Jesus, we just thank you for each and every one of these students. God, we thank you for bringing them here tonight. Lord, we thank you that we can choose to forgive. God, we thank you that you will take care of it. We thank you that it is now in your hands. And Lord, I pray that whenever these kids become offended, whenever these kids have a hurt, something that happens to them, they can choose to lay it down at your feet. God, you see each and every one of them. You see each and every one of their hurts. And Lord, I pray that you would just meet them where they're at, that they would know you see me, God, you hear me, and God, you love me. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the 4640 Student Center podcast. For more information on what's happening in 4640, you can check us out on social media and at our website, 4640gj.com. Service times are Tuesday and Wednesday nights. Hope to see you there.